Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. I want to welcome you as we gather here on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And yes, we will be giving thanks to God for God's goodness to each and every one of us, as we always do. But I welcome you and I greet you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And how good it is for all of us to be together this morning. If you are visiting with us today, as always, I just want to extend an extra warm welcome to you and let you know that you are our guest, and we appreciate your presence with us today. You've chosen to worship with us today, and we thank you for that. If you are visiting with us today, we'd love for you to just fill out the information that's being asked of you on the little green insert in your bulletin. That's totally up to you, but it would just help us to welcome you a little bit better. And you can drop that sheet in the offering plate or give it to an usher. Just an extra shout out also to those who are watching us online. I know we have millions of people watching us online every Sunday. I've even gotten word that we've got people watching us from Finland, and I'm real excited about that. So I know you are as well. So just an extra word of welcome to those who are watching us online. Just a few announcements that I want to call your attention to this morning. One is the community Thanksgiving service is going to take place, and there's more information about this in your bulletin at the synagogue here. It's going to be at 7 o'clock this Tuesday, community Thanksgiving service, and I have a secret to share with you. Don't spread this around. But our own Keith Jones is going to be singing in this service in Hebrew. In Hebrew, so just keep that to yourselves. But it's a very exciting bonus for us. All right, Mary Jane would like to follow up with something here and make a little announcement, I think, or word of appreciation.
I told you last week that I expected you to be generous, and you were. We had the whole back of Cecil's SUV to the sin with clothing, toiletry articles, toothbrushes, toothpaste. Thank you so much. We took that there yesterday. Also, there were some toys there, and we continue to collect toys, please, until the week before Christmas, so that we can let them know what we have. Anything for little girls and little boys will be greatly appreciated by the soup kitchen and the people that participate in their generosity. Thank you again so very much.
And thank you, Mary Jane, for that appeal last week. She came up to me earlier today, this morning, and said, "Can you believe how generous everybody was last week?" I said, "Well, they were afraid not to, the way that you told, if you were here last week, they were afraid not to, the way you told everybody." I said, "Everybody went straight home and got straight to work. We'll put you in charge of our stewardship campaign next year, the way you brought everybody out." All right, so another announcement that we want to make this morning, and I'm really excited about this. I'm going to ask Reverend Wolf Page to come forward and do this, please. Is your mic on?
My mic is on, but I'm going to use it.
All right.
This is actually an interactive announcement, so get ready. If you are young or young at heart, especially those of you who are maybe children right now, I need your help in finding a sheep that is in the sanctuary. There's a sheep hidden in the sanctuary. You might have to get up from your pew. You might have to walk over in this direction and look for a sheep. Whoever finds the sheep for me, I do have a treat. Oh, I see someone who is young at heart going to look. Thank you, Arthur. So while they are looking, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the sheep trail that is coming to Spartanburg. The sheep trail is something that Central and our Messy Church ministry are putting on, and we are offering this interactive scavenger hunt to all of those in Spartanburg. There it is. Awesome, Rosalie. Thank you. This is for you. Awesome. So, starting a week and a day from today, on November the 29th, sheep just like this one, knitted by our very own Central Knitters, will be hiding in stores in downtown Spartanburg. Everybody is invited to go look for the sheep. They'll have little name tags on them so that people can write down their names and let us know that they have found them. I need your help in getting the word out. So if you're on Facebook, look up Christmas Sheep Trail, share it with all your friends. If you're not on Facebook, tell all your friends about the Sheep Trail. We want everybody to join us in this fun, exciting Christmas adventure. Thank you.
I want to thank Reverend Wolf for putting this together. I've never seen anything like this before, and I think it's super cool. I'm really excited about it. I love the engagement with our community. And so I encourage all of you to spread the word to your neighbors. You know, this is something that's fun for all ages, but especially families with young children. If you have neighbors or something, you know, around you, let them know about it. Paige has made a great Facebook post about it. You can go on and share that on your Facebook page yourself and get the word out. And I'm really excited about this great opportunity. All right, so the flowers today, they're gorgeous. The flowers on the altar are given by Wes and Jeanette Robeson in celebration of their grandchildren, Elise, Cameron, and Lily. Thank you, and let us continue to worship. us pray. Mighty and compassionate God, voice of the voiceless, power of the powerless, we praise you for your vision of a community of wholeness, a realm of peace in which all who hunger and thirst are nourished, in which the stranger is welcomed, the hurting are healed, and the captive is set free. Guide us by your truth and love until we and all your people make manifest your reign of justice and compassion. We pray in the name of your anointed one, our servant king, to whom with you and the Spirit, one holy God, be honor, glory, and blessing this day and forever. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today comes from page 886, or number 886, the World Methodist Social Affirmation. Invite you to turn to 886. And please note that your response will be in the bold print. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit, present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort.
We believe, God, help our unbelief.
We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough, in all responsible use of the earth's resources.
Glory be to God online and on earth, peace.
We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come. At this time, I would like to invite all of the children to come down and join me for our children's moment. All right, got some down. They're not afraid of me. I'm so thankful for that. Guys, I've actually brought a chair out here this morning. If I get down on my knees like Miss Page does, I probably won't be able to get back up. So I brought a chair just to help me out a little bit. So what big holiday is coming up this week in a few days? Well, Christmas is coming up soon, but what's coming up a little bit before that? Valentine's Day, huh? Any other guesses? Any other guesses? How about Thanksgiving? Yeah. So Thanksgiving is coming up this week. And what is one of your favorite things about Thanksgiving? Maybe food? That's my favorite part. I love Thanksgiving because I love all the yummy food that is going to be served. And some of you are probably going to have Thanksgiving at your, you know, your mom and dad's place, or maybe at a grandparent's house, or who knows. You may be going somewhere, but I love Thanksgiving. So I want to talk a little bit about the meaning of Thanksgiving. And so I have something here. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. Have you ever seen this before? You ever seen this picture before? So, you ever seen this before? So this has a really funny name. It's called a cornucopia. Can you say that? Cornucopia. It's kind of a funny word, isn't it? So this is an old word, and it means horn of plenty. So you see how this basket looks kind of like a horn? See that? It looks kind of like a horn, right? Well, back in the old, old days, like 2,000 years ago or so, the people would take a goat's horn, and they would hollow it out, carve it out, and they would put food in it. And it would be like a symbol. It meant that there was an abundant harvest. So they would put fruit and vegetables in this carved out horn that looks like this basket. They would put fruit and vegetables in it, and it would be a symbol. It would mean that they had a big harvest. So that means that the farmers had big crops, lots of fruit and lots of vegetables. And this was a way that they would celebrate that. And so this has always been a symbol of Thanksgiving. Cornucopia, it means horn of plenty. And so that's one of the things that we celebrate at Thanksgiving, that God has blessed us with an abundance of food. So let me ask you this. When you're hungry, where do you go to get something to eat? How about inside your house? Maybe the refrigerator? You ever go to the refrigerator, open it up and pull something out? Yeah. How about your parents? Do they go to the grocery store? You ever been to the grocery store with your parents to get food? Yeah, so usually when we want something to eat, we go to the grocery store. But here's the thing that I want you to understand. Everything that we find at the grocery store, at least when it comes to fruit and vegetables, it was grown by a farmer. It was grown by a farmer who planted it from seed. It was harvested by workers who picked the fruit and the vegetables. And then somebody had to ship it to the grocery store in the big trucks, truck drivers. And then people in the grocery store had to put it out in the produce aisle and in the shelves. And so for us to have the food that we have, there are a lot of people who have to help us with that. There are a lot of people we never see who make sure that we have plenty of food to eat. So when we thank God for all the food that we have, we also remember to thank God for all the people who made all the food possible. The farmers and the workers and the truck drivers and the grocery store people and everybody, okay? So let's think about this week when we celebrate Thanksgiving. All right, will y'all pray with me? Will y'all pray after me? Dear God, we thank you for our blessings, for all of the food you give us every day. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got something for you. Do y'all like to color? Do y'all still like to color? Well, if you do, I've got a coloring page for you of a cornucopia. And you can take that home or wherever. You can color it if you still like to color. All right. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you for being brave and coming to being with me this morning. I appreciate it. Y'all can go back to your seats now. Well, as we make our way towards Thursday, we have much to be grateful for, I know. Family, friends, our church family, and the abundance that God provides for us, the health and the strength to be here this morning. And, you know, this time last year, we're still not out of the woods by any means, and I don't mean to suggest that, but if you just think about 1 year ago today, things were really, really frightening. And we were going through some really scary times. So I'm thankful that this year, most of us will have more opportunity to be with family and friends, travel a little bit, unlike last year. And for concerns, as always, I invite you to take a moment, please, and look at the prayer list in your bulletin. You'll see that on the bottom of the right-hand page, next to prayers, there's a list of folks there. We update that list periodically and add new folks, so I invite you to remember these individuals and their families during the week ahead. And let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, we gather here on Christ the King Sunday, celebrating your reign over creation. Oh God, we confess that often when we think about royalty, we simply associate it with political and military power, exorbitant wealth. But God, today we remember that your reign came in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ, grew up in Nazareth, who went around preaching good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set those who are oppressed free. We remember his humility as he stood before Pilate. And so, God, we pray that you will help us to be citizens of your kingdom, even as we are citizens of the kingdoms of the earth. Help us to make our ultimate allegiance and loyalty to your kingdom, to your rule and your reign, as it is expressed in the Sermon on the Mount and exemplified in your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh God, I pray that you will watch over all who travel throughout the week ahead. Be with us, keep us safe and in your care. We're grateful for the opportunity to be with loved ones, to celebrate your abundance and kindness. We remember those who are on our prayer list and others who rest heavy on our hearts and minds this morning, those who are struggling with illness and disease, those who may not be able to be with family this week. We pray for your healing touch and power to be upon each of these individuals. Bless their families and their caretakers. I pray that you will encourage them as well. Oh God, we're thankful for all of our blessings. We're thankful most of all for your Son, Jesus. We're thankful that we can be a part of his kingdom on earth as we remember the prayer that he taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I invite our ushers to come forward, please, as we receive our tithes and offerings.
Keep silence and
Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 18. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Oh. If you are a female of my generation, it is likely that at one point in your life you had hopes to marry Prince William or Prince Harry. To the preteen mind, their mere existence meant that dreams of happily ever after with a prince were possible, never mind the tragic love story of their parents. We have always had a fascination with the royal family. Heartbreaking love stories, untimely deaths, grand weddings, pomp and circumstance all draw our attention across the pond. The death of Princess Diana is one of those moments that will live in our collective memory. Even today, royals captivate our attention as we learn the underbelly of life in the royal family through the trials of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Despite our country's history with the United Kingdom, we have held on to our fascination with the royals. While the current monarchy of the United Kingdom has some responsibilities, our view from afar perceives this family more as celebrities than rulers. We find ourselves distant from their once oppressive rule. Certainly, the monarch has evolved since the birth of our country. Queen Elizabeth doesn't hold the same power as her predecessors. Modernization of the throne has changed our notions of kingship and kingdoms. And living in a modern democratic republic, it can be a stretch of the imagination to understand biblical notions of kingship. But that is where we find ourselves today. This scripture passage from John places us in the midst of Jesus' trial. Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea, is responsible for Jesus' fate. This is early in the trial, and their conversation here centers around the idea of kingship. Is Jesus a king? If we take a moment to remove ourselves from the modern idea of ceremonial royalty, we can better understand Pilate's question. Pilate used the word king to denote a ruler, perhaps a dictatorial one. Being king had much to do with power, conquest, war, and assimilation. Pilate's question is one that carries greater weight to the trial than may appear on the surface. The question of Jesus' kingship is not an ideological or theological one for Pilate. It is a political one. Anyone claiming to be king would be considered a threat to the Roman Empire. And so he asks, Jesus, are you king of the Jews? Are you in opposition to the emperor? Are you a threat to our systems of power and authority? What seems like a straightforward question is met with not so straightforward of an answer. This is not the kind of answer that lawyers and judges prefer. First, Jesus questions Pilate. Then he talks about a kingdom not from this world and testifying to the truth. Despite the fact that Jesus uses kingdom language, Jesus never says that he's a king. Jesus lets us figure it out for ourselves. Instead, Jesus points to whispers of truth and something beyond our understanding. If you can continue reading on in the account of the crucifixion, you'll find more talk of kingship and opposition to the emperor. Eventually, this talk of kingship leads to mockery of Jesus as king. At the time of his death, Jesus is given a crown of thorns, and the place where he is crucified was inscribed with the words, King of the Jews. They don't understand. They deny who Jesus is and feel threatened by him. This debate over Jesus' kingship is a theme in his trial and ultimately his death. It is also the focus of this, the last Sunday before the beginning of the season of Advent. We dedicate this day to declaring Christ's reign, and yet I wonder, what is our understanding of Christ the King? Do we view Christ as a ceremonial king who we look to for recreationally for entertainment? Do we see him as king of the Jews? Do we see Christ as ruler over heaven and earth? Do we see ourselves as a part of Jesus' kingdom? Do you consider Jesus a king? It becomes clear that Pilate and Jesus were talking past one another. Pilate's understanding of kingdom is one based on notions of expansion, power, and dominion. Pilate unsuccessfully tried to force Jesus into his understanding of king. Perhaps it would be easier to say the things that Jesus is not. Jesus is not an imperialistic ruler. He did not come for acquisition of land. He did not threaten the Roman Empire with military force. Jesus was not the kind of ruler that Judea had seen before. Jesus is different. Likewise, Jesus is not our kind of king either. He's not a figurehead. He's not a celebrity. He's not someone for us to follow when it's convenient for our own entertainment. Jesus is more. Jesus is more than Pilate's understanding, and Jesus is more than our understanding. Jesus' kingdom is not from here. It's not from here. The easy thing to do here would be to elevate ourselves above those like Pilate who are loyal to a different rule. Pilate's job was to protect the Roman Empire. He held on tight to his role and responsibility. He tried to control the discourse. He tried to control the situation. Unlike Pilate, our loyalty is not tied to our livelihood. We do not live under the rule of an emperor. We live in a country with laws and regulations, but you don't have to agree with our government. We live in a time and place where we are allowed to believe what we choose. We support who and what we want to support, and yet there are still rulers in our lives. Hidden in plain sight, these rulers inform our actions and our personhood. Such hidden rulers are evident in rhythms of life and broken systems of our society. Think about how many words and phrases are still common, despite racist histories and connotations. Master bedroom, blacklist, the peanut gallery, uppity, even eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Think about how costumes easily turn to cultural appropriation. Think about all the shootings and protest. Think about how we are swayed by advertising, influencers, and herd mentality. Think about the untimely deaths of those who don't conform to our standards of gender. Think about how we are resistant to small changes in the narrative. There are all sorts of powers at play in our lives, those which we recognize and those which we don't. The powerful elites of Jesus' day were accustomed to controlling the ideology and the discourse, just as the powerful elites of our day are accustomed to controlling the ideology and discourse. We are tied to racism, classism, homophobia, and more. All these systems that work to keep things the way that they are. We are tied to systems that keep the rich white man in power. When we give in to these systems, these kingdoms, power remains with those who have always had power. Conversations center around how to keep the status quo. We continue to fail those that are not in power, the poor, the homeless, the other, children in unstable homes, those living on the margins. Is Jesus king? He responded, "My kingdom is not from here." In this moment in time, there is a trial being held against those accused of killing Ahmaud Arbery in Brunswick, Georgia. Likewise, on Friday, we learned the jury found Kyle Rittenhouse not guilty on all accounts in the shooting of three and deaths of two in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Jesus said, my kingdom is not from here. In August of this year, there were 4,030 children living in foster care in the state of South Carolina. My kingdom is not from here. Far too often, there are families that have to make impossible decisions about whether to eat or pay bills. Hundreds within our Spartanburg community remain homeless. My kingdom is not from here. Even with all the brokenness, we may be blind to some of the kingdoms around us. Our systems of power seek to preserve themselves. Yet Jesus came to disrupt these human notions of power. Christ's reign is less about being king of heaven and earth and more about notions of peace and justice. Christ's reign is less about comfort and complacency and more about love and service. Christ's reign is less about self-absorption and more about compassion. His kingdom is not from here. Jesus came to share that vision. He came to invite us to join in that vision. Unlike the kingdoms of this world, Christ's reign is eternal, unbound by time and place. There is beauty in the reign of Christ. It gives us hope and a future to live into. It is a part of who we are called to be. Loving, compassionate, justice-seeking servants. That is what Christ's kingdom is about. As many of you know, Andrew and I are foster parents. Currently, we open our home to children for short-term care. Within the past year, we have had two children come into our home. Their stories are not mine to tell, but I will say that I see the brokenness. I see the ways that the kingdoms of this world have failed. I see how we as a people have failed. But through this, I have also seen the ways that resiliency and love are present despite our failings. I see it in these children. I see it in their eagerness to love and be loved. I see it in the way that my own children love and welcome them. I see hope in the midst of it all. Yes, the kingdoms of this world are nasty and controlling, but there is hope. Jesus invites us to be a part of his kingdom. Jesus brought hope to us all. Christ's love of reign breaks through our human-made kingdoms. Christ's reign of love is here. As you go navigating these competing rules, remember, beloved child of God, that you too can be a part of Christ's kingdom of love, compassion, justice, and service, a kingdom that is not from here. God calls us into the world to embody a kingdom that is not of this world. Go forth now to love and serve in the name of the one who is and was and is to come.